Green Divas and Green Dudes come in many shades of green. Here to help you discover and celebrate your personal shade of green are hosts Green Diva Meg and Maxine Margot, veteran radio chicks who share important news about climate change and the plight of human existence, but somehow manage to make most of it fun and sexy using at least 50 shades of green. Hey everyone, welcome to 50 Shades of Green Divas. I'm Green Diva Meg.
I'm Green Diva Max.
And we're going to talk about plastic.
Da 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 da. Plastic. That's what it is,
wah,
baby.
Wah, wah,
wah, wah, wah.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Yeah, because you know what?
I don't know. Plastic sucks. And we don't mean straws, people.
Right? We did do that show.
We did that show.
Go listen to that, our Stop Sucking show.
Stop Sucking. Don't you just love that? Hashtag Stop Sucking.
It was effective and cute. And
we like it.
Said a lot. Anyway, it's a show about why plastic straws are insane. Just say no to plastic straws, people. That's all you really need to know.
Yeah. Well, you know, plastic may have some valuable uses, like certain medical devices, electronics. We become a society addicted to it as a disposable resource and one that never goes away. We are quickly learning that our landfills, oceans, animals in the wild, and yes, your own bodies are filling up with plastic.
It's a really creepy thought.
Right. I mean, you know, remember The Graduate, and they had, you know, the kid. He got advice from the elder, and he said, "I have one word for you:
one
plastic."
Yeah.
And you know, he could have made probably a lot of money, but hey, look what it's doing to the environment, folks.
So we're gonna hit you with some of the most bizarre and stunning facts about plastic, according to the UN Environment's Beat Plastic Initiative. Around the world, 1 million plastic drinking bottles are purchased every minute. Yes. I was like, wait, what? Every minute?
It's literally mind-boggling if you think about it. Where is it all gone?
Oh, there's more.
There's more. And there's more.
But wait.
Yeah, but wait.
Up to 5 trillion single-use plastic bags are used worldwide every year.
5 trillion. That's a trillion. Not a billion,
yeah.
A trillion.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, that's why they're pulling plastic bags out of sea creatures that are dying and washing up on the shore. And that, you know, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Not a fun fact.
So half of all plastic produced is designed to be used only once.
Talk about a throwaway society.
Let that sink in, yeah.
A throwaway society that we are living in. Just one use and then garbage. And it's... You know, hey, people, what can I say? Because, you know, plastic never goes away. It is literally designed to last forever, or at least 500 to 1,000 years. But, of course, we won't know that for sure ourselves.
Right, yeah.
Unless we, you know, our heads go into some cyber cryogenic little bowl like
that's
they do.
Another silly science fact,
right,
by Max coming on.
Like Futurama or something. And future generations may look back and either marvel at or be disgusted by our obsession with this stuff.
Right?
It's crazy.
So if there are future generations that far ahead, I mean, I digress, but, and I'm not normally like such a Debbie Downer, but did you see that dire report by the ex-fossil fuel industry executive backed by the Australian military chief?
It's worse than that.
So, yeah, I saw the headline and by Vice, which, of course, it was nice and, you know, bold. The report by the Breakthrough National Center for Climate Restoration, a think tank in Melbourne, Australia, describes climate change as a, quote, a near to midterm existential threat to human civilization, and basically paints the apocalyptic end of the human civilization by Within the next 30 years.
It's the end of the world as we know it. And I don't feel fine about that, man.
I don't feel fine.
I mean, it says I feel fine. I'm like, I don't feel fine about this.
So I could theoretically live through the end of the world, or rather, you know, at least the extinction of humans on the planet.
I could possibly, too.
Right?
So if I'm going to go out, you know.
We may go together.
You know, we just Thelma and Louise. It's like, woo! Off that road.
Sorry, I got a little sidetracked by Armageddon there for a minute.
Armageddon.
Sorry.
You know, but, you know, no, we're not talking about that today.
Thank God.
But we are talking about plastic and how it could be a factor in destroying our environment.
cherry stuff like that.
Yeah, cherry stuff like that. You know, I think it's a good time for a break, Meg.
So for more cheerful stuff, no, actually, we really are more about solutions, and we present the problems, and we try not to get too grim, and then we offer solutions. So find out more about what we're doing out there in social media, and please interact with us at The Green Divas on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, you can find The Green Divas on Facebook, at Green Diva Meg, also everywhere, and 50 Shades of GDS.
At 50 Shades of GDS and at TM Shades of Green. Just tweet us.
Tweet.
Send us a tweet.
Pictures on Instagram. Right. And of course, now you can find our podcast everywhere, including you can ask Alexa
darling,
please play the Green Divas podcast.
And we won't leave Siri out of that. You can ask her too.
Hey, it's a great time to tell you about a cool new podcast that you're going to want to listen to. Have you ever walked down the street, looked around, and wondered, what the hell are we doing? Then you might be ready for the Crazy Town Podcast. If you want to get the real scoop on the sustainability crisis with a refreshing perspective, or you're ready for ideas about how to change our overly consumptive way of life, or you just want to hang out with some funny guys who come up with good ideas every once in a while, then you're going to want to listen to Crazy Town. Now's the time to think differently, to be a little contrarian, to embrace your rebellious streak, and above all, keep a sense of humor. Please check out Crazy Town at postcarbon.org/crazytown and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That's postcarbon.org/crazytown.
Let's talk about why plastic sucks.
Okay, here's a few fun or funky facts about plastic.
Funky facts.
33% of all plastics, water bottles, bags, and straws, are used just once and then thrown away.
It's a total throwaway society. Mm-hmm. It's just insane.
And according to NationalGeographic.com, we have 9.2 billion tons of plastic. That's a lot of tonnage. And out of that, 6.9 billion tons becomes waste, and 6.3 billion tons never makes it to the recycle bin.
That's an incredible fact right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's an awful lot of stuff that doesn't go into the recycling. What that means is it's maybe making it to landfills, and much of it is going into our waterways and into the ocean, which is why, again, we are having...
Right, and now countries that the U.S. and other Western countries send their, you know, plastics and recycles to, they're sending them back. They don't want it.
Yeah.
So now we are in a major conundrum as to how to deal with it.
So a million plastic bottles are bought around the world every minute. We talked about that.
That's...
Right?
That just sticks in your brain and you go, huh?
What?
What?
We're reiterating that for a reason.
Yeah, well, that'll be, again, reiterated.
Okay. 90% of plastic polluting our oceans is carried by just 10 rivers, mostly in China and Africa.
That's crazy.
And 73% of beach litter worldwide is plastic.
Yeah, and it's sticking to the rocks. It's becoming a fossil. And that's a whole other topic to talk about. The geologists say, it's there, Plasticine. So, in talking about this and what's going into the various sea creatures and species, and also us, I will reiterate, a young whale was found dead in the Philippines, and it likely starved because it had 88 pounds of plastic in its stomach. National Geographic had pictures of all kinds of plastic bags and other junk. I mean, it's just, it's disgusting, it's discouraging, and we need to do something. As I said, nearly 700 species are known to be affected by plastic.
And that, does that include humans?
Are we species now that can be?
Yeah.
Are we intelligent species?
I don't know.
You know, but anyway. According to CNN.com, Americans eat, drink, and breathe between 74,000 and 121,000 microplastic particles each year, depending on their age and sex.
Yeah, so the answer is yes.
Yes, humans do. Yes, it includes humans. Those who exclusively drink bottled water rather than tap water can add up to 90,000 plastic particles to their estimated annual total. According to a study in the Journal of Environmental Science and Technology, and National Geographic did a story last year about a study done that found the first microplastic in human poop.
You hear what that, a fun folks? Study that was.
Yuck. Philip Schwabel, the physician scientist who conducted the human stool experiment, says he hopes his findings will hasten research into the effects of microplastics on human health. Because based on the research, it was highly likely that microplastics would be present in humans. And in that study, it was, yes, it is present in humans.
And they're continuing to study now to see how it is affecting, is it you know, embedding in our tissue, and how are the toxins? We're not going there yet. But you know, then there's BPA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one. Okay, we've talked a great deal over the past few years about BPA, which is, like I said, only one of the toxic chemicals that is leaching from plastic bottles, food packaging, register receipts. And I say, why?
Register receipts.
Why is it on there? Mm-hmm. I don't fully understand, and I don't really care. Research has found BPA to be incredibly harmful to humans, especially tiny ones and pregnant women. BPA is found in 93% of humans.
Wow. That is insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, and like I said, that's just the one chemical that's been researched. There are many chemical constituents in plastic that also need to be researched, but this one they found is bad. We've spoken to Michael Green, who's the founder of the Center for Environmental Health, CEH. And he talks about BPA. We've talked to him a few times about it. And here's a bit of the surprising history of BPA.
So BPA is a chemical that was originally identified as a estrogen replacement. So they originally were going to use this chemical to give to women who needed an estrogen replacement.
Oh, that's so amazing. Maybe I should be eating a lot of canned food since I'm in perimenopause.
Well, they don't. Maybe, but they ended up finding other things that were more effective for that purpose. So then, fast forward a couple decades, and they kind of forgot about that part, at least those who were wanting to use it in industry. And instead, they started using it to line cans for food cans.
It's kind of a bizarre switch, isn't it? How do they jump from like a pharmaceutical bio application to food packaging?
They were probably just trying to figure out a way to sell it, right?
Well, that was one thing. And then the second thing is they were trying to figure out a way to seal the can so that the metal didn't leach into the food and the metal taste didn't leach into the food. And they found that this worked.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not attentive to the fact that it might have potential health impacts. So that's how we got into the situation where we're being exposed to it every day. It's also on the receipts that you get when you check out at the grocery store. And so now companies are looking for replacements in some applications, but it's also still, 93% of us have it in our blood at any particular time, and we get rid of it within 24 hours. And what that means is that we are constantly, constantly being exposed to it in our lives. For virtually all of us to have it in our bodies and for us to get rid of it in 24 hours means that all of us have been exposed to it in the last 24 hours.
GD Max, is there any good news about plastic?
Actually, there is.
Yay!
Thailand is experimenting with new ways to package food. Social media users across the world are going bananas for a supermarket's eco-friendly replacement for plastic packaging. Rather than wrapping all of their produce in plastic, a branch of the Rimpeng supermarket in Chiang Mai, Thailand, has started bundling all of their fruits and vegetables in banana leaves and flexible bamboo.
Well, that sounds appetizing, really, right?
Yeah, my son was there. I wonder if he was in this particular supermarket.
And in Concord, Massachusetts, they have managed to ban small plastic water bottles. And the initial pioneering charge was led by an 88-year-old woman, Jean Hill, in 2013. As the result of her persistence, Concord passed the first water bottle ban in the U.S. Yay!
Hey, she's quite something, that one.
And I have to mention that Sudbury and my old stomping grounds and home for quite a few years, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, have followed their lead and have implemented a similar law. Yeah, and the ban takes effect on the sale of single-serving plastic water bottles, 1 liter or less. So
yeah,
I think that makes sense.
They went for the small bottles, right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So because, again, it's the throwaway society, you know, and, you know, take a drink and then throw it away. But then there's a big city that's taking the lead. And in this case, it's San Francisco. They adopted a plastic bottle ban, which prohibits the sale of plastic water bottles at events held on city-owned property, and government agencies may not purchase bottled water. Hey, wouldn't that be a start everywhere?
Right?
The initial ordinance took place in March of 2014. So to me, it's good to see that some government entities are taking a step in the right direction. And so now let's hope it is a start to a road less filled with plastic.
I like that. Sounds good. Of course, you know, many cities and towns across the U.S. have already begun to ban plastic bags or at least charge a fee for their use, which tends to, you know, discourage their use for most people. And now bans on plastic single-use straws are spreading like wildfire, mainly, which, you know, sometimes I guess when you're talking about the environment, wildfires aren't a good thing to bring
probably,
up, right?
No, probably, yes, too many of those these
Sorry.
Days.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're...
Bad adjective. Okay, so they're spreading like crazy. Many retail food service companies are leading the way, including Starbucks, who plans to phase out plastic straws by 2020. McDonald's recently announced it will ban plastic straws at its UK and Ireland restaurants. I'm like, what's up here?
What's up with the U.S.?
I got, boy,
yeah, you got a few days.
I know. And Alaska Airlines will be the first airline to phase out plastic straws and stirrers. So there's a little bit of encouraging news. People are catching on, hopefully.
Right.
It will, you know, be able to really all step up there.
Right. In my town of Newcastle in New York, we were the first town of that size to ban plastic bags. And now other
Thanks to
place,
you in part, Max. You know, you took
well,
part. You participated.
Yes, I'm on the board of the Sustainability Advisory Board. So we're trying to do things positively. And small towns are a place, you know, smaller towns are a good place to start.
So people step up, get active, and participate in these boards and with your town council and get involved in helping implement some of these plans.
You know, local goes global, and that's true. It really is. You know, there's a lot of stores popping up around the world that are packaging free. We spoke about Thailand, the supermarket. Packaging is, of course, one of the top producers of single-use plastic that is a plague on our world. I mean, everything is wrapped in plastic.
It's so true.
So these stores are going back to bulk buying, or as we said, they used banana leaves in Thailand in the store to wrap, you know, produce in, and are dedicated to minimizing plastic in every way possible. And there's a store in New York City. It's the first store, first package-free grocery in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and it's called Precycle.
That is so cool.
And the owner, Katerina Bogatireva. she said, I totally messed that one up. Sorry, I'm going to use Katerina.
Yeah.
She said that the customers bring in their own vessels and pay, you know, for amounts they take. And she said it's a psychological thing that you value your food more when you see it that way. After the first week, she showed a friend what trash they had in the store after that, and it was less than 5 pounds.
That's amazing and wonderful. You know. See, I've done that for years with my food co-ops and other places that have that kind of bulk food available.
Right.
I love it.
So, but it's called Precycle, and it's a great idea. So thanks, Katerina.
Did you know that enough plastic is thrown away each year to circle the Earth 4 times? In a Green Diva Minute, you'll learn more and be on your way to living a deeper shade of green. Plastic doesn't biodegrade, at least not in 500 to 1,000 years. Between the islands of plastic, the size of countries floating around in the oceans, and the negative effects of it on wildlife and humans, we need to find ways to reduce and reuse plastic. So say no to plastic bags. Remember to bring your reusable ones when you shop. Recycle whatever plastic you can. Too much recyclable plastic ends up in the landfills. Extend the life of plastic items by finding clever ways to upcycle and reuse them. I'm Green Diva Meg. Find more useful Green Diva podcasts, videos, and of course, lots of low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green at thegreendivas.com. Eileen Bastianelli is an environmental crusader and the founder of Ecocentric Solutions. She works with A Plastic Planet, a nonprofit social impact movement for change, and helped to develop the recent One Plastic Free Day campaign. I guess they had their second annual just recently.
Just recently, yep.
And the goal of the campaign is to ignite and inspire the world to turn off the plastic tap.
Our goal was to engage with as many people as we could, uniting them together under the hashtag of One Plastic Free Day, to really inspire people in governments to make pledges and plastic reduction pledges, and individuals to give them the possibility to say what they wanted to see go plastic free. We are able now to see, we have an interactive map that is on the oneplasticfreeday.com dedicated website. And when someone posts something in the north of China, in the south of Peru, or in the upper, on the Upper East Side, we will see what they desire to see go plastic free. And that's going to enable us to create a picture of data. That picture, with the Guinness Book of World Records, actually, will be published as a piece of open source data. It's a survey. It's the world's largest survey to say these are the things that are preoccupying people in these different areas of the world. So that whether it be scientists or sociologists or a school or somebody that wants to learn more, that data is there to help us create even greater awareness and greater change going forward after the day itself.
Eileen has a particularly international perspective, as she has lived in the UK and now in Asia. She lived in Paris, too, right?
She lived in Paris. She's back in the States now, but she did live in Paris and Asia for quite a while.
How can you slow down the way you live your life? How can we, you know, what's happening right now in Indonesia, in Bali, where they, you know, ban plastic bags, and it's been a challenge. And of course, people cheat. And of course, people look at ways of getting around it. But you know what? The supermarkets are now wrapping their vegetables in banana leaves. And that's awesome. Because when you start to look at the statistics, and this is what I think a lot of manufacturers don't necessarily consider, just the UK throws away 300 billion pieces of plastic a year. And it can only be downcycled. You know, another like a plastic water bottle never becomes another plastic water bottle because the quality degenerates. So it's not a circular economy for plastic. It's a downward cycle. And it's more expensive to recover the plastics and process them, their hydrocarbons, to recycle them than it is to use virgin crude. So where is the motivation? And yet people, the customers of those manufacturers, think when I reach out to them about, for example, One Plastic Free Day, and they say, honey, but I recycle. You know, I did too. I used to put it in the bin for them to take it away. And then I realized a way does not exist.
And now, for Silly Science Facts with GD Max.
It was a toss-up between human poop with plastic in it or octopuses and their climate change and how it affect their eyesight.
Octopuses in the shade?
Octopuses in the shade. It's like, you know, the song you hear? A one, two, three. I'd like to be doop, 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 doop under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
Bum, 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 bum.
He let us in.
Boom, wah, boom, boom,
knows where we've been.
Wah,
in an
wah.
Octopus's garden in the shade. Mm, cool.
Oh my God.
I had to do that. Megan and I had to do that. We have to sing sometimes. Because we need to sing.
Singing. I gotta sing.
Gotta sing. Gotta dance. So when the Beatles wrote this song, there were no worries that octopuses would have problems with plastic straws and problems seeing their garden under the sea. It is now likely that the hidden cave that octopuses reside in has plastic straws in their living room. The New Daily Blog reported that a volunteer underwater cleanup project at Manly Cove near Sydney, Australia, is recovering hundreds of drinking straws from the sea and raising awareness of single-use plastic pollution. After they went on a few dives, they were very inspired to clean up. And on one of the dives, they said that they actually found an octopus holding 4 straws in its tentacles. You know, we had the Lonely Whale Foundation on the show last year, and they started a campaign called Stop Sucking to reduce the use of plastic straws. So as we said before, now there's a big push to reduce, you know, them in food establishments in cities and towns in the U.S. and abroad. So plastic is not the only problem these 8-legged creatures have to contend with. Life has gotten a bit murkier for these amazing sea species. How are octopuses adapting to warming oceans, which is causing oxygen levels to drop? Environment is getting shadier, and they are having problems with their eyesight as a result of climate change.
Aww.
So not only do particles, you know, that they have to contend with floating plastic debris and microplastic particles that they may ingest, the loss of oxygen in the oceans due to global warming is having a negative impact on their sight. And so we are disrupting the octopus's gardens, and it's causing them harm. So what will the gardens under the sea look like in the future years to come? And will they adapt and will they survive? Anyway, we're hoping that this, you know, gets rectified and that the global warming starts dissipating so they can see. But since this is Silly Science Facts, here are some additional science facts about the octopus. Their name is funny, I think, and that's not a science fact. I just think it's funny. As for their other body parts, it is hard to say how warming oceans and oxygen depletion will affect them. Octopuses have 3 hearts.
Really?
2 of the hearts work exclusively to move blood beyond the animal's gills, while the third keeps circulation flowing. The octopus also has 9 brains.
What?
Perhaps they can lend us a few as humans. I don't know where our brains are going lately. They have one main brain, where all the analysis and decision-making takes place, and 8 ancillary brains, one at the base of each arm, that function.
Really?
They function as pre-processors for all the information obtained by that arm. So at this point, it is hard to say how warming oceans, oxygen depletion, and plastic will continue to affect them. So let's hope we can curb global warming and help the octopuses see their gardens without needing contact lenses.
Another Silly Science Facts with GD Max. Well, there's so much more to know about plastic. It's a little bit daunting, in fact, to talk about all of the effects plastic is having, the negative impacts. Obviously, there's a lot of good stuff going on, and we are taking action. We are waking up as a culture, hopefully. So we have a couple of interesting quotes for you to leave you with on this.
We have Sir David Attenborough, who's a journalist, and he's definitely on the charts as being an environmentalist, you know, of the top level. And he said,
And I quote, "More than 8 million tons of plastic reaches the sea every year. There will be more plastic than fish in the sea by 2050, and 99% of the planet's seabirds will have eaten some. Humans are already eating plastic from the sea, too. The average person who eats seafood swallows up to 11,000 pieces of microplastic every year, according to a study by researchers at the University of Ghent. As Prince Charles put it at a recent Our Ocean Summit, he said, plastic is very much on the menu."
So here is the end of a George Carlin rant about the Earth and why he's not worried about the Earth. The planet will be here for a long, long, long time after we're gone. And it will heal itself. It will cleanse itself, because that's what it does. It's a self-correcting system. The air and the water will recover. The Earth will be renewed. And if it's true that plastic is not degradable, well, the planet will simply incorporate plastic into its new paradigm. The Earth plus plastic. The Earth doesn't share our prejudice towards plastic. Plastic came out of the Earth. The Earth probably sees plastic as just another one of its children. Could be the only reason the Earth allowed us to be spawned from it in the first place. It wanted plastic for itself. Didn't know how to make it, needed us. Could be the answer to our age-old egocentric philosophical question, why are we here? Plastic arseholes. You've been listening to the 50 Shades of Green, a collaborative gig between the Green Divas and the Many Shades of Green radio shows, happily recorded at Green Diva Studio. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts and the Many Shades of Green on iHeartRadio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and Stitcher, among other places. You can find more information about this show and much more on thegreendivas.com.